The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, we just want to trust God to move us further into His thoughts. Amen. Looking at the fact that we cannot come into pleasing God by just declaring that we want to please God. Let me rephrase. We cannot give God pleasure by sheer being born again, by singing song all the day long. We can't give God pleasure. I believe that nobody here still holds the notion that God eats praise. No. That is not the sacrifice that God eats. Because it's not consistent with the document of truth. Amen. God does not eat praise. What is the sacrifice of God? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. That is in the document. The other one is not in the document. That is from our traditional philosophy, from having worship done by idols. Do you follow me? Those idols that when you sing, they just see the stone will start jumping. Like, literally, the stones jump. The irons will just start moving. You have sang some things. You have poured oil, poured blood, poured many things. Yeshua and Yahweh is not like that. Amen. God of Israel is not like that. It's an aberration to think that by your producing some sound from your vocal cords, you will now move God on His throne. What an insult. Whoever sold that fallacy to us, whoever sold that lie must have been perpetrated by devil and idols in Africa. Done by those are the ones who sat down and sold it. And it's unfortunate that our brethren bought it. Because it is not in the document of truth. You can't substantiate it from the document. It's not there. The sacrifice of God is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Amen. That is the sacrifice of God. And tonight, the Lord will grant us mercy. Because when you say a heart is contrite, a spirit is broken, when you say that, we must understand that what brings the heart to that state is only one thing. It's not continual attendance to church. That does not bring the heart to that place. It's not activities with the saints, physical activities. That is not what brings the heart there. It is only one thing. And it is the knowledge of the Holy, the knowledge of Christ, that can make a heart broken and can make a heart contrite and make a spirit broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. God will not despise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let us, it is good to sing praises to the Lord. The psalmist expounded so well on that. It is good that the heart should sing praise to the Lord. In fact, I will wake up early in the morning and I will sing a new song to the Lord. There's need to do all of that, but that is not the sacrifice of God. And tonight I perceive the Lord wants us to become a living sacrifice. And we cannot become a living sacrifice without being prepared. Every sacrifice that must be offered is prepared deliberately over time. So when you go to the Old Testament, You see that you want to offer a lamb to the Lord. There are specifications. You don't just do it in a hurry. You must take out time to prepare that sacrifice and make sure that the nose is not running, and make sure that the eyes are not blind, make sure that the ears are not deaf, make sure it does not have any dent. It must be prepared properly to be offered. Amen. So we do not offer carelessly. How much more in the New Testament, which is a better covenant, a better promise, a better testament. You cannot just give to God carelessly. Your heart, if it is going to be a sacrifice of God, must be deliberately prepared by the Holy Ghost over a period of time. The day we were born again, the day we are born again, that day we do not become a sacrifice. We cannot be offered because we cannot be accepted. Are you with me tonight? The day we were born again, we did not become a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. No. We did not become a living sacrifice. But rather, we must be prepared by the Holy Ghost to become a living sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are clear. What makes a heart ready for offering, to be offered, is the knowledge of Christ. Amen. Did it ever occur to you that Paul did not know Jesus of Nazareth? The great Apostle Paul did not know Jesus of Nazareth. But he knew Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because many times we are in conflict of understanding between Jesus of Nazareth, which we read in the Gospels, and Jesus the Christ. Clearly, Peter was responding by the Spirit, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that is the one that Paul knew. That is the one that the apostles later came to know. That is the one we must know. If a heart is not exposed to Christ, the Son of the living God, that heart can never become a sacrifice. Take note, I am not saying no about. I am saying no. That is another confusion of knowledge. You know about a thing and you assume you know the thing. It's a conflict. And we must be quick to decipher between what we know. Is it about it or it? Because it is the knowledge of that thing, not the knowledge about it, that will cleanse and separate a man. It is the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Son, the knowledge of Christ, that can make a man clean, not the knowledge about God. There are many assumptions about God, and many things have been written about God that is not God. The first day you came into a worship concert, and somebody took microphone and began to describe God with one giant ear that falls from his ears and touches the ground and hears every whisper, and describe his eye as one giant ball that is just rolling round, bigger than the globe of the earth. By the time they are done with that description, if you are literary in your mind like myself, you'll be wondering, this God is a monster. I bet you this is a monstrous God. Because there are many things we know about God. There are many assumptions about God that cannot possibly be God. It's not even logical that it is God. He cannot possibly have given you, see the size of your eye, to the mass of your body. And then his own will be like, the Lord will help us. Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read several things. Galatians chapter 1, 15 to 16. To whom be glory, 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, 16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. To reveal. So if it takes God to reveal, then Christ the Son of the Living God is a mystery. I want you to follow this thought tonight. If God has to reveal it, then Christ, the Son of the Living God, is more than the one that was born by Mary. It means that that one, this one is a mystery. If it took God to reveal. Paul did not know Jesus as a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet. Because he said, who do they say I, the Son of Man, is? And the Son of Man is a prophet. But Paul didn't know him as a prophet. Paul never encountered Jesus as a healer. Neither did Paul eat bread from Jesus' miracle. Neither did he know Jesus as rabbi, the great teacher. Are you following me? He didn't even know Jesus as the one who died and death cannot hold him. They showed him Christ as the Son of the Living God. So it is clear that it is very important that we must pay attention to that person, that entity in the spirit, if ever we will move and migrate towards God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, I can assure you that there is nothing threatening the church. You know, there are many things happening out there. But there is nothing threatening the church like the appearance of false Christ. Let Boko Haram be ravaging. Believers have always died in persecution. They have always died as martyrs. Do you follow me? It does not threaten the church one bit, honestly. Persecution broke out in Jerusalem and the apostles stayed put. Everybody ran away. In fact, wherever they went to, they gave us one picture of Samaria. Wherever they went to, things broke out. Are you following me? A whole city will just turn from they strike them in Jerusalem and then the things spread. Nothing has threatened the church and nothing will threaten the church like the appearance of false Christ. That is the only threat that even the apostles, when they smell it, they begin to shout, what is that? Be careful. Watch your steps. Take care. Watch them. They start screaming. Because if anything can clone as Christ, and we are tempted and drawn to believe it, we are doomed. Do you follow me tonight? Nothing threatens the church. Nothing threatens, and when I say the church, I'm talking about you and I. Nothing threatens our existence and our attainment of eternal life like the appearance of false prophets and false teachers. Because they have ability to seduce. And they don't seduce by miracles. They seduce by teachings. And usually they don't appear until you have begin to fall in love with teachings. They wait. Because somebody is going to take you a prey. The person is have to lure you. And if somebody is going to pull you, they have to pull you with something that entices you. Hallelujah. So a believer's life is most threatened. Not when he has no food. Not when the economy is bad. When false Christ begin to appear. Then there is wahala. Now, because this Christ, which is the Son of the Living God, has some things he must do for us. We are not just believing him because we are looking for something to believe in. If we don't believe in this one, we will not meet a part of him that is called high priest. And if we don't meet that part, we will never be clean. And the last thing I will ever advocate for is a faith that does not promise perfection. What is the waste of energy for? What is the waste of energy? I am not looking for something to worship, for crying out loud. Neither am I interested in some gregarious movement, gathering, that is moving aiming at nothing. If I want to gather with people, I know how to gather over matters that can even profit me naturally. This devotion is futile if it cannot give perfection. Wake up on Sunday morning when I should be sleeping in my bed. I begin to prepare. I begin to get ready for church. And I've been doing that since I was born. Since my first breath. Since the day I knew my name. I met myself going to Sunday service. And I've been attending midweek service, prayer meeting, Bible study. For as long as I have lived. You know, that level of devotion is empty if it cannot give perfection. We should bundle it and throw it away. What do you mean by our father's religion? That is the way we met it. Who met what? Worship your thing. Go and worship it. So if the gospel that we preach can no longer give perfection, can no longer separate a man from sin, and cannot give a man eternal life, we should not seek it anymore. That is the real trouble. Because the real trouble is that if you replace this Christ with a false Christ, you will never get these things I've said. So, the believer's faith is threatened. The believer's walk is threatened if false Christ begins to appear on the scene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 just tells us a whole lot of that. And when you read Matthew 24 verse 24, it also expands that many Christ will appear. And when Jesus says something, just pay attention. It is true. It is true. It will happen. Let me quickly say this. The church was left in the care of the apostolic gifts or graces of Christ and the other four gifts of Christ. And the core jealousy of the apostolic is to see that Christ is the only one that is preached. Is to make sure and ensure that no adulteration comes into it. So when you meet somebody who says he's an apostle and he's not jealous about Christ and him crucified, buckle your shoe and take off. Because you are about to be handed another thing. Show me Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. You are about to be handed something else. So Jesus ensured that at his departure, he gave gifts to men. It's not to keep them busy, because he said, occupy till I come. You think it is continue to do church till I come. You are not getting it. It's not continue to do church. It is that these people must hand over a document, and we must be busy with that document till he comes. Hallelujah. We must be busy with that document till it comes. So the apostles took time to teach the church how to detect false Christ. For there shall arise Christ. It didn't even say another one. Many. False prophets. And shall show great signs and wonders. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive. This is Jesus talking. The very elect. I mean, the one way election don't show. This guy has taken time to make his calling and election sure. The one, the very elect. He has labored ceaselessly to ensure that his calling and his election is sure. He can even be deceived if it is possible. So the warfare we find with the apostles and with the other gifts of Christ is to ensure that our feet is not taken away from Christ. Is to ensure that we must have eye to sight that thing. Once he shows up, we must know, I know you, I caught you. And one church where Paul spent 2 years in Ephesus. Jesus himself recommended, in fact, in his commendation, said, I know thy works. One of thy works is that you can detect those who call themselves apostles and are not. They call themselves apostles and they are not. Because when false teachers, it's good to note that false teachers are not people who quote Bible inaccurately. False teachers are not people who misplace the characters in Bible. When they want to say Joseph, they say Joshua. When they want to say Israel, they say Babylon. Those ones are not learned. They have not read their Bible well. False prophets and false teachers, the way they describe them is that they were once with us. They left from us. That is the way they describe them. Before, all of us gather for church. But one thing with them, one of their greatest undoing is that they don't ever have the patience to wait for the light to complete before they run. When you say a man is false, it's not that the man is outrightly wrong. It's that the details of the ingredients are not complete. So the ointment of the apothecary will stink. They cannot compound Christ in you. Because Christ is an ointment, and they must teach you how to compound him. And as a follower, you must learn the smell, the aroma. If you don't know the aroma, you will rub another perfume and you'll be calling it Christ. I said Christ is an ointment that must be compounded. They compound Christ in you by teachings. Because when they bring teachings stir certain things within us. Certain afflictions are stirred. Certain oppressions of the Holy Ghost come because we believe the teaching. And we exercise ourselves in the teaching, in the commandments. It is in doing that that something is being formed in us. So if you exercise yourself in the wrong teaching, you will get another formation. Jesus picked that coin. Say, whose image and superscription is on this? And he said, it's Caesar's. Because they will always ask. If it is Caesar's, give it to Caesar. If it is for him, he will collect it. Thank you, thou good and faithful servant. You know one scripture that used to make me afraid? That God, let me not be a specimen of useless experiment. You know some experiments are not going anywhere and they will use specimen for it. You just do it, and then things just feel, sorry, just pack it and throw away. And you would have used somebody as a specimen. It is that their works shall be tried by fire. Some people are builded. He that builded upon this foundation should take heed. Because every man's work will be tried by fire. Every man's work here is human being. Now the part where they fear me. It's not that they will try it. It's that some will be burnt. Now human being are born like chaff. When you read some scriptures, you just pause and ask, God, exactly how will you do this thing? What of the people inside this operation? They are not gold. There are three that will cross. They are not precious stone. But you find them as hay, stubble, and as wood. So they can teach you something, and it will form wood. When they put everything they have taught you, the formation it will leave is not gold. The formation it will leave is hay, is stubble. Then they will now try the pastor's work. Jesus, have mercy on us. They are not trying you. If you read that place, you think that you are trying. They're not trying you. You, they will just try the pastor's work and you will be burning. This operation is terrible. It's terrible. A believer should not worship an unknown God. There is a point we must get to, even if you were born in church. There must be that point where you wake up one and say, let me even know this God self. I mean, it's not good that a man live on earth and never come to that realization. To just ask him, let me know God for myself. I've been going to church, honestly. Now, let me know this Christ. Lest I would have ended up being somebody's hay. They are not trying somebody's work. Somebody that has been using all our offering to build mansion on earth. They will now put, let us even try and say, and then he will escape as a fire. He will escape. The matter we are dealing with is strong. If the true Christ is not preached, we will never experience remission of sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So knowing the true Christ is the beginning of eternal life. Knowing the true Christ is the beginning of eternal life. Let's see John 17, verse 3. Amen. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let's see that same John chapter 20, verse 31. For these things are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is what? You are not with me. That Jesus is what? The Son of God. That is why John wrote all the story where they talk since now make you believe. Say Jesus, now the Son of God, the Christ. And that believing, ye might do what? So it's clear that Jesus is the first cause of eternal life. Jesus Christ, the Son, the Christ, the Son of God, is the first cause in receiving eternal life. So if I do not do the first cause, I do not learn the first cause well, and I am not admitted for the second cause, they cannot seal my eternal life. Are you with me? If this Jesus is not believed in, there is no remission of sin. If Christ is not known, I like the analogy that Reverend Helen gave about knowing. For those of us who are in science, what is the constitution of water? H2O. Now, you don't know water because you drink water. I know water now. I know water. No, you don't know water. How to know water is to know what makes water up. Are you aware that there are professors who have been studying only what is studied in water? H2O. You are not aware. Somebody studied for 25 years and is still writing paper on H2O. Two molecules of hydrogen plus one molecule of oxygen. You don't know God. You don't know Christ until you know what they used to form Christ. The ingredients that they used to form Christ. If you don't know it, you don't know Christ. When I heard that analogy, I said, this is serious. In UK convention, Reverend K said, I don't get intimidated when people say, does it have to be, you are making it difficult, you are making it hard. Does it have to be hard? He said, it should be hard. I like it hard. In fact, I want it to be hard. This gospel, it should be tough. It's a mystery. And mystery is tough. They say, come and learn your maker. You say, why should it be hard? You don't understand. They now call it, imagine just in your weird imagination. I say, okay, come and understand who created you. And you are now saying, he's too complex. He's breathing with his nose. What is the other one now that is in there? That other finger. The fingers are many. You don't understand who we're talking about. They say, come and learn God. You say it's difficult. What will it be before? Easy. It has to be difficult, so we must be ready that God is difficult. Yes. And learning God is not child's play. Yes. God is difficult. Anybody that tells you it's not difficult, it's 1 + 1, you will be the person doesn't even know God. God is not easy. God, they say something is mystery, you say it should be easy. Your chemistry, they call it mystery. You spend 4 years learning it. They didn't target mystery. How many of us enrolled for JAMB for the mystery of chemistry? They call something mystery. You are saying, is it difficult? Why is it difficult that way? In fact, when something is even too simple, when you are preaching it and it's too simple, I'm wondering for you. But boy, your mouth is too sweet. Hallelujah. Because remission of sin is tied to knowledge. Why is it sounding difficult? Because when they say sin, the way they weave that thing they call sin, there is not only one. When even some of we brothers, we see the way they make some sisters here, it they confuse us. Now another woman being weaved them. They weave, you know, then go twist them, weave them, pull the thing, come out, pull them, adjust them. When you look at it, it's just you, all you can say is it's fine. The details, you are not interested. If I, when you see them doing it, you say, what are you doing? What is this one again? You will now call it one name. It is one coil from the way the devil wove sin and layered it on our soul. You don't understand. It is the same reason that God is difficult. If I, even before man fell, God was difficult. How long was Adam learning God? If Adam gave up, whoa, let's subject humanity in hope to a better resurrection. Adam that had not fallen, God will come in the cool of the day. And Adam was learning God from God. Straight. No interface. Jesus was not preaching through a pastor. Jesus was teaching Adam straight. And Adam got to a point and said, after today's lesson, Eve, Joe, Bamishe, I can't do it. To a man that was not falling, God was difficult. God was tasking to learn. Now to a man that is falling, God is a mystery. Adam, name everything. You are studying it in school. The one that couldn't learn God, he named things and you are studying it. Do you understand what we are saying? Because when we come on Saturday, don't come with one sense that if it's too difficult, it's too enough. That's why I don't like Pastor. This is, you know, it's his message. This is his message. And Reverend will say, even when you are saying, Reverend, it was that point that began talking of agape love. That I now, Reverend, say you don't even understand what I'm saying. From the beginning of the message, you don't understand anything. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. The Lord will grant us mercy. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot. Now pay attention. Who died on the cross? You are confused now. You know it now. Who died on the cross is Jesus. But Hebrews is telling us that it is Christ. It is not, it is the blood of Christ. My burden tonight is that our hearts will see the need to know the true Christ. It is the blood of Christ. So when they preach another Christ to you, you can never have remission of sin. If you walk on this road, enter place where then they preach another one who resemble him, where no be him, you have entered one chance. You will never be saved. It doesn't matter your devotion. So it is Jesus that hung on the cross, but it is the blood of Christ. So it tells you that that Jesus had Christ inside him. Yes or no? So it is the blood of Christ that purges us from sin. So we must be careful what Christ is preached. So any Christ that the end product is not to deliver you from sin, run from that Christ. I had a minister some years ago. He said, the gospel, what is the meaning of the gospel? They said, good news. What is the meaning of the gospel? They said, good news. What is good news to a poor man? that he will be rich. What is good news to a sick man? That he will be well. Scam. Scam. And the whole hall was vibrating. Yeah! The good news to a poor man is that there is hope, he will be rich. The good news to a sick man, you won't die in your sickness, you will rise in, you are coming. And everybody was shouting. I said, scammer. Verily, verily, I show thee a scammer. Because good news, the only good news to man is that one day he will lift his hand and is free from sin. Any other news is fake news, is fraud.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For yea, I showed you a path. I show you the path that would eventually lead you to life. For there are many paths that seems right to a man. For there are many paths that seems exciting to a man. But the end is the way of death. The end will lead to death. The end will lead to death. The end will surely lead to death. But there is a path that is narrow and straight. But there is a path that is narrow and straight that you must come to walk in, that you must come to know, that you must come to learn. If you will arrive at the path at the end, which is life. If you will arrive at the end, which is life. Oh, beware that no man beguile you. Beware that no man beguile you. Beware that no man deceive you, even to spoil you, even to take away that which you have, even the little that you have, even the little that you have. But there is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way that is different from that which my son has come to portray. There is no other way that even Christ come to show. Any other way will lead you to death. Any other path will lead you to destruction. Pay attention to learning the way. Pay attention to learning the path. Pay attention that you might not be robbed even at the end of your life. That you might not be robbed at the end of your race, even on earth. That you may wear the crown of glory. That you may wear the crown of glory. Fight to hold on to the pure word. Fight to hold on to that which is pure. Fight to hold on to that which is true. Fight to hold on to that which is real. Fight to hold on to that which is the reality. For there are many fake. For there are many fake. There are many fake. Fight to look for the real. Say the Lord.
Hallelujah. Are you being blessed tonight? There are many fake. The real is only one. Amen. Can we read verse 11? But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. Christ. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now pay attention. Listen. It means that the true Christ is the high priest. If anybody sells you the fake Christ, you cannot have a high priest. I said, what is at stake? Once false Christ begins to emerge, what is at stake? It's not whether you will go to heaven. What is at stake is that sin will not be remitted. Is that you will go to church, you will not change. And the thing will be looking like you will change. It will be looking like you will soon change. You will just continue. I just continue. There, it holds a hope that actually is not a hope. The true Christ is the high priest. And you need a high priest to effect the remission of sin. So if you remove the true Christ, you will not have a high priest. There is no fake Christ that has a fake priesthood. It just doesn't have a priesthood. You are not getting me. It's not like at least it's Christ is Christ. Well, Christ is Christ. You are not getting it. If it is not Christ, the Son of God, you will never have an high priest attached to your soul. If you believe another thing, you are just believe for your own waste of time. Because this Christ is tied to, and interestingly, he has a temple. He has a tabernacle. His tabernacle is not even like Aaron's own. Because Aaron's own was a pattern from his own. Did you ever read the scripture that said, appoint Aaron and his sons that they may minister in the priest's office? Meaning that Aaron is not the owner of the office. It's a scripture. That he may minister in the priest's office. If you are ministering in the absence of the principal, stay in the principal's office. You know, somebody can come and call you principal. You will be a stupid man to assume that you are principal. Because when you have expired your veto power, you can't go beyond the one given to you. They give you a space. You have the power to do this. Have the power to do this. Any other thing, call me. Do you follow me? Aaron cannot do more than he did. Because he didn't have access to human soul. The best he could offer was to cleanse the flesh. And that was not small. The priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make atonement. The atonement. There's still another one. There's another one. This one is still talking about appointing another priest in his father's stead. Aaron and his sons in the priest's office. Amen. So there is an extent he can go. Thou shalt anoint them. Exodus 40:15. And thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. This is not still it. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. Amen. That they may minister in the priest's office. The office is not for Aaron. They lent them the office temporarily. When the high priest, the owner of the office, came, his assignment is clear and he's doing it differently. In fact, he's not even doing it from the earth perspective. Why did they kill him? Aha! The clothes of service, to do service in the holy place, the holy garment for Aaron, the priest, and the garment of his sons to minister in the priest's office. They are to go there and minister. The office is not their own. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the true owner of the office. And there was a time, even when he came on earth, he said, everyone that ever came before me are thieves. They are robbers. So the way he is officiating now, Aaron, in all his decorum and discipline, did not officiate that way. So if they give you a gospel without Christ, the Son of the living God, they have scammed you. You should arrest that man and burn him with fire. Hallelujah. So knowing Christ is inevitable. Because the Son of God has come and has done what? Giving us an understanding. It's clear that you don't use understanding for naught. Understanding is because there is something to know. There is knowledge. Understanding is always attached to knowledge. So knowing Christ is not something we do. That's why we cannot be, if I want to know Christ now, they will say, Zachary, I'm a pastor. I don't want to be a serious member of the church. You are not getting it. You will never arrive at anything in the spirit. You just set out from new birth to miss it. That's the implication. When you come to this path, there's only one option, serious. The other option that is not very serious is not an option. So if I am coming, there's only one purpose. I must come to know Christ. Why must I know Christ? It is now after I know Christ, it is Christ that will take me to God. We are going to God. Oh, we are going to God. Oh. The song didn't tell you that we must meet Christ. It's Christ that will take me to God. Oh. That part is not there. So don't ever imagine that you will go to God. You don't know God. If they show you God, you will say, "So I need God." I was even looking for something with big eye rolling around. It's only Christ that knows God. They call him the express image of the invisible God. It's only Christ that can take us to God. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit, says the Lord. Which Lord? It's Christ. For where the spirit of the Lord is. So when you don't know Christ, I am emphasizing it, Christ, the Son of the living God. If we don't know that one, we can never have our sins cleansed. We will not meet a high priest. One thing that no false prophet can provide. I feel that some of us are misunderstanding when I say false prophet. False prophet is not soothsayer. They are not. That somebody is telling you the person that will win the match between Manchester and Arsenal. It's not a false prophet. In any soothsayer. Do you understand? They are not the rank of false prophets. No, false prophets have tasted to an extent. They have been enlightened to an extent. Some of them deliberately went away to hew for themselves another thing. When you meet them, that man is a false prophet. Anything he delivers to you cannot be Christ. Why? He left deliberately, went away, because he can no longer stay with the apostles. The journey of learning with the apostles became tedious. He, such a person, felt that, is this what I will be doing? How old am I myself? I'm almost 50. I will just be queuing with these people. When will they know my name? He now went to start his own church. Some people are running church because they cannot be member of a church. You are not understanding the dilemma. As you are seeing us like this, the devil wants to play kalokalo with us. It just push you. Puzzle. Some churches is because the pastor. So, whose church will I now go to now? He has grown too much that he cannot be a member of any church. So, he owns a church. He's running the church as a hobby. You're not getting it. That is a hobby. So, that man can easily be a false prophet. Because you don't open an assembly in the New Testament by sheer outgrowing the churches around you. That you know more than the pastors is not a criteria to go and start a work. You will easily become a false prophet because you will shed light that is not complete. A false prophet has light, but his light is not complete. Either by because he didn't learn completely, or that he's refusing to show you the whole light. In fact, those ones are more terrible. The ones that know it, but they shade it from you. And you know that in the spirit, they respect veiling. Veiling is a principle. I mean, Moses veiled, and the veil is still in the heart of all that read Moses. And God did not kill Moses because he veiled. Go and read your Bible. Do you see why he killed Moses? It's not because Moses veiled. It took an apostle like Paul to show us that if Moses had not veiled, the people would have been able to look steadfastly and see the end of that glory that they felt was shining on the face of Moses. The fact that Moses veiled, the glory didn't remain there forever. But the people didn't look steadfastly to see the end of that glory. So the veil remains in their hearts. And every time you describe Moses, they see Moses as that glorious being. But you and I know that the glory didn't last. It faded. That's the difference between Moses and Jesus. Jesus transfigured before the tree. And Jesus didn't cover his face. They saw him transfigure. They saw him return back to normal Jesus. That was what Moses didn't do well. So when Jesus comes as everyone that came before me, thief and robber, don't say he's harsh. He knows what he's saying. Because if Moses didn't veil himself, the people will see that, no, the glory feel, okay, what he lived. It will be easy. Yet, the same Moses told them to wait for a Christ that will come. But with his veil, he prevented their entrance. Any prophet that veils God from you will prevent you from entering Christ. If you know how many million Jews are still waiting for Messiah, you will know actually that all that came before Jesus were thieves and robbers. Because if they did it well, Jesus himself will harvest them straight. They even killed the apostles. Amen. Amen. Now this knowing, can we see 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Give us verse 18. But we all with open face, we have moved from Moses. Now in Christ, nobody is veiling. So anybody that veils will show you a false Christ. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So in this testament, we behold, we gaze, we look at it. Oh God, do you know the encounter that Paul had on the road to Damascus? He said that you will become a witness of the things I will show you and the things I will show you hereafter. Hallelujah. You will become what? A witness. Paul cannot become a witness if he was not looking steadfastly. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. So if we are going to know the true Christ from the false Christ, there's one assignment. We will look steadfastly. We will not look and be looking at other things. Have you ever, you say you want to watch a movie, at the same time you want to work on your laptop? If they call you and say, what did he just say? You just, I didn't hear. Are you following me? That is exactly what will happen. Now, the movie is interesting, but your task on the laptop, you will die if you don't deliver it. Are you getting it? So you are doing the two together. We call it multitasking. It's a lie. When your wife asks you, see that, what did you just say? You say, I didn't pick that. You are not picking anything. Same thing is happening when you are listening to Reverend K and you are doing something on your laptop. You are not listening. When you want to listen, you will off everything and sit with your jotter and listen. That one you are doing, you are just trying to culture your atmosphere. So that if anything is coming and something can knock it off. Are you following me? That is what you are doing. You are going on the street, you are on the bike, you are listening, you are in the class, you are listening before the lecturer comes. You know you are not really, that is not looking steadfastly. You are just keeping your mind busy from other thoughts. Are you following me? Because if they ask you what did he say, you will not hear what. If I didn't pick that line, but you are following the thought. Do you know how to follow a thought and not pick exact word? That is what is happening. You are following the thought. He's discussing the mystery of the priesthood of Christ. You are following the thought, but you are not picking the details. For us to change, we will have to look upon this true Christ alone for as long as we are alive in the flesh. You don't ever get to a point and say, we have looked on this Christ for 40 years. Let us look at another thing. No, the day you want to, in fact, the desire to look at another thing means that you have not been seeing well all the while. Hallelujah. As we gather together on Saturday, my heart's desire is that we will come with steadfast look to see this Christ. Our high priest is very effective in removing sin, but the effectiveness is diminished when we are not looking.
I like a statement Reverend made. Reverend said they don't force people to be saved. Do you remember that statement? It was the day he gave an analogy. He said, when they were young, they will have wound. They will be hiding it. Then mommy now told him what they did. He said, our own, we're not hiding it. We will give you to massage it. But we will be crying more when you massage the place that is not it. Did you do that? When they put hot water here, is that the place? Yes. Is that the place? Yes. Are you sure that's the place? Yes. You just, when they put it on the right place, you will just be bearing. They will say, it's not the place, it's not the place. They'll put it in the wrong place. Who is deceiving who? Until your mother just feels that you are limping, by now this pain should have reduced. She will just massage everywhere. Say, this is the place. She will just massage. Until that time, if not, they would have amputated your leg. If you want to be saved, you will bring your soul for salvation. They don't beg people for salvation. It is not community contribution. You are not getting me. It's not our job. Contribute your own, I contribute my own. We give to Sister Lawaja. Contribute your own, I contribute your own. We give to Brother Kunle. It's not community arrangement. If you don't want salvation, the church is open. Be coming. Honestly, be coming. But if you want salvation, the recipe is clear. You will look. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. For them to change our image, our vile nature, it takes looking. Things are transferred when we behold the true Christ and we look steadfastly on the true Christ. Wow, you are wondering, what is that mechanism? Go and ask Jacob, how did he put one pattern before the sheep and all of them change? No, maybe that was by coincidence. He put another one and they are looking at it and the children are giving birth to is changing. What is about what you see that changes a man? Now, when I say what you see, don't forget that what you see is not just what you see like this. What you see is what you understand. So it is a futile labor to come to church and not understand Christ. You have scammed yourself. You have scammed yourself to wake up, dress up, wear your jean trousers, and deck up, and then be marching. You carry your Bible, whether pocket or light or featherweight or heavyweight. You carry your Bible. You left order, you took taxi and you came. And you are not coming for salvation. What are you coming for? The Lord will help us. We are to gaze steadfastly. It means that if they are telling you to keep looking, some things will come to take your eyes away. Oh, Paul will pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That the eyes of your understanding. What is Paul asking for? If the eyes of the heart is not opened to see, we have wasted the essence of new birth. The essence of new birth is not to go to heaven. The essence of new birth is to sight the kingdom. For verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And the kingdom is not a place. The kingdom is a person. If I am not seeing Christ, I cannot enter Christ. Enter the kingdom. Do you understand it tonight? It becomes a deliberate effort. If one burden I came back with from convention is that, Lord, give me more grace. Let me have more energy to look at this thing. Honestly speaking, believe you me, I don't want to preach it. My passion is to live it. My passion is to live it. Now let me close with this. I took my time to be sure that they are not scamming me.
I just say, okay, this one they are saying, now let us try it. How many years? 5 years of my life, 5 years, 6 years of my life. Let's try it, let's try it, let's try it. Let's try it. And because if it doesn't work, if this one doesn't work, if this one doesn't work, you won't see me again. No. I said that to myself. I didn't say it to anybody. If this one doesn't work, they won't see me again. But let's try it. And so, during the teaching of LFP, I'm telling you one secret. I told myself, okay, despite this friendship thing, I will try it. If it doesn't work, there's nothing they are saying that will work. At least this one. Other things I cannot see. This one I can see it. Friendship, or Remy, or Remy, or Remy, or Remy. If this one doesn't work, there's nothing. Eternal life, when we... I said, those ones, come! Let us make sure this one is working. And if this one will work, I will give my time to learn it. Like some people came to me and said, how do I follow? I said, you can follow Reverend Busui now. He's in UK. Go. Because how I follow is not by driving the pastor. I told somebody, I said, I have seen people who have driven Reverend K. And in the last convention, they were not present. So it's not driving the pastor. It's a sign that you are following. Pastor and Father, anywhere you are going from children, I want to follow you. I don't want to for now. That is what the Holy Ghost has told him to be doing. I shall be following you anywhere you are going from mission. Just let me, I will tie your shoe. I will bring water. That's just what the Holy Ghost has put in my heart to be doing. Oh. What have we not seen? That does not mean you are following. How to follow is to take what they are teaching and do it. Pray yourself into it. First of all, to understand it. Then define your life by it. You are following. Reverend Kayo Deoyogoke was in Nigeria following Pastor Kenneth Hagin. And grace rested on him. Do you know that he never went there in the lifetime of Pastor Kenneth Hagin to go and fellowship in one camp meeting? So how you follow, sir? It's not by carrying the pastor's bag. There's a level like that. But when you want to really follow, you will take message. So it even tells me that coming to church and giving offering doesn't mean you are following the message. I hate to deceive myself. If there's one thing I don't like in my life, let me say I lie to myself. If somebody lied to me, it's easy to forgive. But boy, yeah, he's a liar. Because I've taken note of his face. But if I am the one that is lying to myself, I should take note of myself. So I told myself, let me give this thing 5 years. If this thing is not working, they will just sleep one day and wake up and they will not see me again. Deal. And I took that message and I put my heart into it. As Reverend is finished teaching it, I will start doing it the next day. I was bruised in the midst of it. I was hot trying to exercise myself. But, it's working. It's working. It's true. No, the other one that I don't understand, I will understand. I will follow it. So when he comes and teaches priesthood and the thing is so very loud, Pastor Dixon, is that inside Bible? I used to ask him. He read it, sir. See, clear one Bible by. I will take my Bible and go and sit with it. I will take the message and listen. Now, I have crossed a first point. Now, let me tell you. The reason I told you that story is so that you will not do my experiment. You will be wasting your time. I am telling you now that this thing is sure. As you are sure that tomorrow will break. If they like, let there be riot tonight. And you are running kutu. Before you run to Ore, day will break. You sure you are running to daybreak. Are you following me? No matter if it's dark now, you are running. Hi. Before you reach Ore, day go break. Because it's sure as the dawn that this thing, if you gaze on Christ, you will have eternal life. If you don't gaze on Christ, you have scammed yourself. You are the one doing yourself. If
I am coming to church and I am not coming to gaze on Christ. I am doing myself.
I think my assignment is clear. That message I came to deliver, did you understand it? It's not a long message. It's not a complicated message. Verily, verily, I just delivered it. Amen. And you want to ask yourself, what is Christ? Show us. Let us look. Even Philip asked them questions. You are not wrong to ask. Philip said, this talk, I go to the Father. Where I go, you cannot come. Where I am now, you can see me. Where I go, you cannot see me. Hitherto, I am here. Later on, you will not see me. What? Show us the Father. Leave the rest. And you know that when he was saying that, he felt he was saying something. Every time Jesus will be sounding mysterious. I go. Very soon I go. Now I come back. I go, you cannot see me. I come back, you will see me. Before uncle, he looked as if he knew what he was saying. Jesus now said, Philip, have I been this long with you? And you are still saying, so was the Father. Are you not knowing that if you see me, you have seen the Father? For the first time, in fact, his confusion became real. He got very more confused. Like, if I see you, I've seen the Father. So, are you the Father by? Or, can you see me? So, when you are even asking, Christ, show us Christ. Yes. Christ is anything that dissociates you from sin. Christ is anything that sanctifies you from unrighteousness. Christ is anything that eventually empowers you to ride death, to conquer death. Christ is anything that can make your soul experience resurrection. Anything that can do this is not Christ. Nah, scam. And the preacher is a scammer. The church, now scam zone. I've said in summary, number one, God is not easy to understand. That's number one. Number two, you cannot go to God. You don't know his address. It is Christ that will take you to God. Number three, you cannot locate Christ if you do not look. You must gaze by the aid of the teachings of the prophets and the apostles for you to see Christ. Number four, false Christ, prophets and false teachers have arisen. They are the real scammers. And you need trusted hands to show you Christ. I will close on that note. You need what? Trusted hands. Very simple to know trusted hands. Scripture is complete. Wisdom is what? Profitable to direct. Then wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom is justified of her children. When some ministries have produced more mad people than the church has ever produced put together. You really understand me? Some people, the moment they start listening to some message, they are more prone to become insane. You have not observed it. You don't even know. That's why you are picking message from left and right. There are some people that their message has produced more mad people than the whole church, the whole history of Nigerian church put together. They are only their message. Their circle has produced more mad people. Not spiritually mad, physically. And it's now picking things. They now have to take Bobo to psychiatric hospital. Physical, it's not spiritual psychiatry. Physically, some ministries are there. If you don't shine your eye, scammer go scam you. Wisdom is justified of her children. So to know the ones you can trust is simple. Like this morning I was just wondering, are you aware that he said that the last trump is the trump that can bring resurrection? Did you read that part of your Bible in Corinthians? So, and every time we saw a trump in Revelation, some things followed. It means that when you hear trump, it is not brass work. Pa, 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 pa. Now the dead in Christ will rise. It's not brass work. I've heard messages this is my one life, that you have not heard orchestra. When the heavenly brass begin to play, the dead in Christ arise. I said, last trump is a message. And that message is resurrection. That is the content. And resurrection is not of your body, because your flesh will be given to the dust. God wants your soul. All soul is mine. He didn't say all flesh is mine. Is that one in your Bible? All soul is mine. So it means that any resurrection will be for what? The soul. So any message that is teaching you salvation of the soul, most likely is this trump. What to follow is simple. If you come with abracadabra, teach it. I am listening. So what will now happen to my soul? I listen to it for 1 hour, 30 minutes. There's nothing about my soul there. So I say, okay. You know, some people teach people how to levitate. How to walk through the wall. They take them for exercise to River Niger, to go and walk on the water. And I'm wondering, okay, after I've walked on the water, I've walked through the wall, I've levitated, I just left. What now happens to my soul? Has it made my soul closer to God? Because the supernatural is not necessarily the spiritual. But the spiritual is always supernatural. Did you understand me? That something is supernatural, it is beyond the natural. It is not spiritual. The only spiritual is Christ and God in the Holy Ghost. That is what they call spiritual. Every other thing, we may not be seeing it. It doesn't mean it is not natural. It may just be supernatural. That you are not seeing those bacteria and it's only visible under microscope doesn't make them spiritual. That I am not seeing a thing, I am not seeing angels now, doesn't make angels spiritual. They are supernatural. It is only Christ and God in the Holy Ghost that is spiritual. But the interesting thing is that once it is spiritual, it is supernatural. So the sure way to the supernatural is the spiritual. And let me add this finally. The spiritual is not a place. The spiritual is a knowledge which you must possess. You are natural because of a knowledge. Are you aware that a carnal believer is higher than a natural man? It's just that he's very close. So many times he falls back there and does things. But a carnal believer is a babe. A babe in Christ is higher than a natural man. A natural man is a natural man. A carnal believer is close, but it's not natural. And they want to make us what? Spiritual. So what are they giving us? Knowledge of Christ. So spirituality is not, like I said some Sundays ago, it's not spookiness. It's a knowledge. When you have the knowledge, you can interact with people in another realm. You can hear God. You can understand the burden of God. You are spiritual. And once you are spiritual, you are supernatural. But there are ministries that go through the other route. They promise you supernatural without delivering to you the spiritual. You will be too light. The air there will blow you away. It will start from your mental health before the other part will follow. Let us know them and mark them which come to destroy our soul, so that we can pull ourselves together and gaze on this Christ. Our time is short. Can we pray?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818. or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.